Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. While having a newborn baby is a source of extreme joy, it's also a source of intense stress and self-scrutiny. Here you are with a completely helpless little being who is completely dependent on you, and you love it more than anything you've ever known. The last thing you want to do is mess something up, and there seems to be so much to mess up. Diaper choices, breast milk issues, the first bath, what's going on with the belly button? Is it going to be an innie or an outie? Is the car seat incorrectly? Should I let her have a pacifier? Am I guaranteeing she's going to need braces? And then daycare. What do I do about going back to work? And where did the dog go? People have been successfully caring for babies for centuries, but it seems like just recently humanity has gotten away from a village-like support system that ensures those worries can be addressed by a knowing friend or experienced mom who's been there and done that. This isolation is even greater in our digital age, which is why Lee Health put together its fourth trimester club. Here to tell us about it is Carrie Blomers, who plans the bi-weekly meetings at the Healthy Life Center at Coconut Point. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Another hurdle new mothers can sometimes see is the breast milk issue. Believed to be the best source of nutrition for babies, breast milk sometimes doesn't happen for women for one reason or another, which is why the Lee Health organization started its breast milk banks a year ago. Here to talk with us about how that program is going is Carol Lawrence with Lee Health. Thanks for being part of the show.
Great. Thanks for having us.
We are talking about support for new moms and the Lee Health Breast Milk Bank on its one-year anniversary. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Carrie Blomers with the Fourth Trimester Club. Where did the idea come from to do something like this?
So my background, I'm actually a registered dietitian, and attending a conference last fall, they had a topic for new moms that I could go learn. But one of the reoccurring themes in that lecture was just the gap in support, or when you're receiving care, someone's looking at mom, someone else is looking at baby, and it's not all coordinated. So I was given the opportunity to create something new at our Healthy Life Center at Coconut Point. And through the group, I was able to then provide a safe place for moms to make real connections, meet other moms, but then also merge both maternal and infant health topics or those things to navigate at one time.
And so you guys meet every other week?
Every other week, yes.
How does that work? Do people have to sign up ahead of time to be able to go, or do they just show up?
So we're casual, and we know things pop up. So you may not make it. We do keep RSVPs, but they're loose, you know. So we just say come when you can. Some moms come to us during their maternity leave and are going back to work. Others may have more of an extended leave, so they're more of like a regular face in our group for, a few more months, so whenever you're available.
It was just kind of nice to have somebody who's, been there, done that, and can give you some advice.
Right, and the moms seem to be in similar stages. You know, we just had a meeting with like four babies born in March. Oh. So you meet other moms that have babies the same age as yours, too.
Oh, that's nice. So then you set up play dates. It's fun. And it's called the fourth trimester, which kind of sounds horrifying to anybody that's been in the third trimester to imagine that it's going to keep on going. But the fourth trimester is actually kind of a term that was coined to describe the pretty much helplessness of an infant. And because it's not
right.
Completely able to survive on its own.
Right. So mom's not really sleeping through the night. Baby is changing by the day. So lots of things to navigate. So we really wanted to provide support during that time, have resources and education available for new moms, and at the same time connect them so they don't feel isolated or all alone in our digital era. When we do maybe connect with others online but don't really know that other person or have real life with them.
Mm-hmm. And then it's been described as a transition from the womb to the world, and some babies find that world to be pretty terrifying. And then if you have a mom that's terrified on top of it, that's afraid that every step she makes is going to be in the wrong direction, it gets pretty scary. So putting a mom's mind at ease through a group like this, does that help perhaps maybe also the child feel more at ease?
Oh, yeah. I have a little toddler, and you can they definitely feel, you know, what you're feeling. And so to have other moms maybe experiencing similar things and that can chime in or, you know, our mental health counselors come in regularly just to talk about some of those maternal mental health topics like mom self-care, your other relationships, and really getting to the, you know, nitty-gritty of some of those postpartum issues as well.
It's really hard to take care of yourself when you're taking care of a baby.
Yes, it is.
It is tough. So, Carol Lawrence, I wanted to ask you, one of the most important things that new mothers hear about and sometimes have a lot of stress is breast milk. It can create some pressure on people. Why do people feel that breast milk is so incredibly important?
Oh, my goodness. The health benefits to both mom and babies for breastfeeding and breast milk, the list is growing every day and every week as we do more research. We know for the babies that it can provide them some protection through their lifespan for certain infections and even obesity. And with our premature babies, it can even protect them against a potentially fatal infection of their digestive system. We also know for moms that there are lifelong benefits for them. Mothers that have breastfeed are less at risk for certain cancers. They're also quicker to return to their pre-pregnancy weight. It also helps increase their emotional state, their bonding and attachment with their baby. So, like I said, that list just keeps growing on the benefits to both the mom and the baby through the act of breastfeeding and the consumption of human breast milk.
So what might cause a new mom to not be able to supply breast milk for a baby?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons that can kind of sabotage mom's efforts. Sometimes it's just a lack of education and knowledge about what breastfeeding entails. It's often portrayed as this very natural act, but it's learned. And each baby and each mom, there's a learning curve with doing that. So sometimes the expectations can be maybe unrealistic or not strong. There's also things that hospitals and well-intended families can do to kind of undermine the breastfeeding. You know, supplementation with formula when it's not needed, introduction of artificial nipples and pacifiers until breastfeeding is well established can really hinder a mom's ability to be successful. And plus, it's support around the women. I know my mom didn't breastfeed us, so I didn't have a lot of support around me when I was learning how to breastfeed my babies. And I'm not uncommon. A lot of women haven't surrounded themselves or have a lot of women in their close circle that have breastfed or been successful at breastfeeding. So there's a lot of reasons. And at Lee Health, we're really working hard to help women identify that support and to get off to a really strong foundation and help them hook up with resources in the community.
Are there physical limitations that can cause a woman not to be able to do that, though? I mean, are there some things that can, like, not psychologically or, you know, emotional support-wise, but something physically that can happen that can make them not able to?
There are a few rare conditions that can help, that can prevent mom from making adequate milk. Some prior breast surgeries or trauma can interfere with that. Some hormonal reasons, women that have polycystic ovarian syndrome or maybe had difficulty with conceiving or certain endocrine and metabolic disorders. Sometimes they are unable to produce enough milk, but that's usually the exception rather than the rule. Mm-hmm. And so women that have these risk factors, we recommend that they be followed, you know, by a lactation consultant to see if they're able to produce enough milk, then intervene with supplementation if there's any difficulties.
So then Lee Health set up 1 year ago their breast milk banks, and those breast milk banks are then there to support women who can't produce milk on their own. Is that what purpose they serve?
Well, yeah. Let me clarify exactly the difference between a human milk bank and a human milk depot. The state of Florida, a little over a year ago, opened up its first human milk bank, the Mother's Milk Bank of Florida, and they're in Orlando. And their role is to receive and to process and distribute milk to families and babies that are in need. What Lee Health has done is we've set up two depots at our hospitals, one at Health Park Medical Center and one at Cape Coral Hospital. So we serve as a depot. So women can, once they are cleared by the milk bank to be a donor, they can drop off their milk to us at their convenience, and then we will handle the shipping and processing it to get it up to Orlando. So we are really a receiving and a convenience for women in the community that want to donate milk. But the milk bank is the one that actually does all the processing.
It. Okay, mm-hmm. I get what you're mm-hmm. saying. So how are donations? Has it been pretty good?
We have just been so pleased with the support in the community. Last year at Health Park, we had over 83 deposits representing over 6,700 ounces of milk. And Cape Coral had 31 deposits and over 2,000 ounces of milk. And what's so awesome about that is even 1 ounce of milk can help many babies in the NICU. So the amount of babies that have been helped by those donations, I couldn't even begin to estimate, but it's definitely a lot of babies in our state and in our community that have benefited from those donations. So we're so pleased.
So is breast milk interchangeable? It's not like blood types. I mean, any baby can have any kind of breast milk?
Yes. The processing that goes on in the milk bank, it's not, they don't do tissue typing, but they can help control how many calories are in the milk. And our premature babies, they need a little bit more calories in their milk. So they can process the milk so that for our premature babies, there's a lot of calories and a small amount of volume. And again, they test it for safety as well. But if there is no tissue typing. There are some reasons that make women good donors, and there are some women that are excluded from being able to donate their milk. And they do have a screening process that's a no charge to a woman who's considering donating her milk.
We are talking about the Fourth Trimester Club and Lee Health's one-year-old breast milk depot. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. I imagine that breast milk is a hot topic of discussion at some of the Fourth Trimester Club meetings.
Definitely, yes.
Comes up all the time because you don't mm-hmm. really ever think about it until mm-hmm. you have a baby.
Exactly.
Do you ask? Do you have people asking, like, can you freeze it? Can you store it? How long can you store it? Do you have all those kinds of questions come up?
We have some of those that come up, but also just that they're allowed to in our setting, which is something that surprised me. But we always want moms to feel comfortable when they're at our meetings feeding your baby. So just that we're always available and open to the public. There's a lactation room in the back if mothers prefer that, if we have other speakers or seminars going on, that they can stop in if they're out shopping at the mall, get a break from the heat. But just different challenges or how maybe frequently they're waking up overnight or cluster feeding. We get a lot of just talk about that as well.
And then also the pump, the breast milk pump. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get a lot of questions about that.
Yes. And because of that, we work closely with Carol's team, and lactation consultant usually comes down every couple months to spend time with our group and take those questions too.
Mm-hmm. And Carol, what do you find? Do you feel that people are going towards the pump? Is that working for women, maybe going back to work?
Yes, I think it's really a necessity if for a working mom, when she's getting ready to go back to work, to be able to get access to a pump, stockpile a little bit of milk ahead of time, so when they go back to work, there's ample supply, and then also to express while they're at work so that they can continue to provide breast milk. The breast pump is really a kind of a hot topic with the Affordable Care Act. More and more women are getting access to a pump. It's not a requirement to breastfeed to have a pump, but it sure does come in handy if a mom is unexpectedly separated from their baby and they need to express their milk. It can help with some common breastfeeding concerns, but for most women, they can very successfully breastfeed their baby or provide breast milk for their baby and never even use a pump. So it's not a requirement that you need to have a pump, but it can be helpful in certain situations.
So Carrie, I wanted to ask you also, do you find that young people in South Florida have kind of a hard time connecting with other people their age that have similar experiences? Or is it hard for young moms to find other young moms or not so young moms?
I do think so. I myself am a transplant from Ohio, so you're also limited with your own family connections. And I, when I was on maternity leave with my first son, I looked for groups like this or something close in the area that I could go to. Never found anything. And it was maybe there were things further south or up north, but it was more of kind of a how far, you know, by the time I pack up and get this kid out the door and drive there, like he's going to want to eat again in the middle of our, you know, 40-minute trek. So mm-hmm. It was stressful too. So to be able to offer something that's like a central location and then find other moms in the same stage of life, which definitely I find more difficult maybe if you didn't grow up here, of course.
And then you don't have your family nearby either.
Right. So you're down a couple sources of support.
Yeah, that makes it kind of tough. So something like this could be really – how many people do you have going to it right now?
So we have on average about six or so moms, a half dozen. Some come for their maternity leave and then they're returning back to work, and others are with us a little longer. So we really we want to be a part of their journey for as long as they're able.
And can people come if they've already had babies before, but maybe they're on their second or third child? Are they able to kind of offer some pearls of wisdom?
Absolutely. And I think each child is unique as well, different challenges. I myself am 32 weeks with my second, and, you know, I plan to go out the door as soon as I can and get back to the meetings, too, for my own you know, mental health, too, being with other moms. And also then we have our pediatric physical therapy, and they'll go through just healthy development. So your first and second child are going to reach milestones at different times. So it can help ease some of those concerns or worries of my first one did this, my second one didn't. Or, yeah. You know, speaking to the breastfeeding differences between child or milk production. So helping with the individual journey.
It's just really kind of hard to explain the stress that you have about what's going on? Why can my child not do what the other kid did? And it's just – it really – because it's like a little piece of your heart outside of you that you have to mm-hmm. keep an eye on and make sure
yes.
everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It gets scary.
I will add that at our other three campuses that deliver babies at Cape Coral Hospital, Health Park Medical Center, and Gulf Coast Medical Center, we offer a breastfeeding club at each one of those campuses once a week, and we do them on different days. We offer them on Mondays at Cape Coral, Tuesdays at Gulf Coast, and Wednesdays at Health Park. And we used to call them breastfeeding support groups, but now we turn them into breastfeeding clubs because people don't have to have a problem to come. We have babies of all ages attending. Some are newborns and some are, you know, near weaning, you know, maybe even a year or so old. And we find that that can be really helpful. Sometimes the women, and we have a lactation consultant attend them, sometimes they talk about breastfeeding, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I'm
sometimes
sure that other things
about
come up.
Other, yeah, exactly. So the fourth trimester club is a great resource, as well as our breastfeeding club, so that moms aren't alone. There's support out there, or they just need to come for some encouragement, or they just want to get a shower and go talk to other adults.
Yeah, other adults are nice.
Yeah,
we have
for them.
Yeah, we have a call coming in from Cricket in Fort Myers I want to get to before we run out of time. Cricket, what would you like to ask?
What exactly do you test for safety in the milk?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Carol, that would be for you. What kind of testing is going on with that milk to make sure, I mean, as far as its safety level for passing on to babies?
Well, the safety really starts first with the screening process. Moms go through a brief phone interview to screen for any medical conditions that may make their milk unsafe for donation. And then and then they have to have some lab work done. Again, this is at no expense to the woman. And then the mom's doctor and the baby's doctor do need to sign off on the donation, because we never want to deprive a baby that needs milk of any milk. So once that screening's done and they're cleared for donation, I'm not an expert on this, but what the milk bank tells us is that when the milk is received, it is tested mostly for bacteria, any contamination. And then if it is contaminated at all, then the milk is discarded. Then after the milk is processed and ready to be distributed to the baby, it is tested one last time for any potential contaminants or bacteria before it is released. And to my knowledge, and based on the current research, there has been no known adverse effect from human milk donation that has been processed through a human milk bank. It is highly regulated and is tested at least twice.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go back to the Fourth Trimester Club, and we're about to wrap things up. But tell me a little bit about what people can expect. Are there educators and specialists that come in and make presentations too?
Yes. So we have about an hour, and typically part of it's going to be, you know, some education and resources, and then the second part for moms to connect with each other. When they're older, there's a bucket of toys and the baby's crawling around or pulling up on our tables. So we've had our specialists from our adult physical therapy come for just the changes mom's body goes through and maybe healing your pelvic floor. Our pediatric physical therapy, same thing, looking at more than the development of the infants. We've had a nutrition dietitian and the mental health counselor. So kind of rotating. Tomorrow we actually have a meeting at noon at the Healthy Life Center, and we have one of our child advocates to come discuss childproofing homes, and then she'll do car seat checks for anybody who may need them.
All right. Sounds great. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I do want to thank our guest, Carrie Bloomers with Fourth Trimester Club and Healthy Lee, and also Carol Lawrence with Lee Health's Breast Milk Bank, or depot, I should call it. Thank you both for taking the time to come on the show today. And we have links to your websites at wgcunews.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.